Thank you, Stuart, and good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Good to see that you're joining us for our half-year results update call. If we had to find another headline for slide three, instead of a headline or highlights, it would be strong, strong, strong. The first half year has seen an extremely strong operational performance, a new level of key balance sheet performance indicators, and a quality pipeline of projects going forward with a clear focus on what experts believe to be the most promising market in Europe, Germany. And I apologize if you hear some construction noise. It is from our new offices, and they are still under development on the floor above. The cycle has not reached its peak, despite some different indications even from our side at the beginning of the year. All of this leads us to confirm our expectation of a new record year for UBM in 2018. But let me not lose any time to present what I would call a very convincing set of financials and pass over to Patrick.
Thank you, Thomas. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Please turn to slide number four, which shows you the operational performance. As Thomas already mentioned, we showed a strong operational performance in the first half of 2018. We are actually more than halfway through reaching our full year targets earning-wise. Earnings before tax reached 28.1 million in the first 6 months, which represents an increase of 24% over the same period last year. Of the 28 million, almost 20 million were generated in the second quarter, an increase of more than 25% year-on-year Q2 versus Q2, and 24% half-year-on-half-year. The main driver was the successful closing of the Leuchtenberg project in Munich. This major project, including office space and hotel, clearly demonstrates the capabilities of UBM, developing projects with a volume of almost 200 million, finishing them in time and in budget, trading them for a good price, and by that generating a solid earnings contribution. Furthermore, the strong earnings development also demonstrates that our efficiency program Next Level is well on track. Until 2019, we plan to reduce costs by 12 million per annum. We are on track to realize half of this potential in 2018 as promised. These two positive earnings effects originated from our operational performance, while we experienced headwind from non-operational factors that we cannot influence. Our result includes more than 10 million of foreign exchange losses from the Polish zloty. This makes our earnings development even more impressive. We were able to compensate for the unfavorable currency development and still grow earnings by 24%. This very good operational performance also translates into a high net profit of more than 20 million for the reporting period. This is the highest net profit ever generated in the history of UBM development in 6 months. In terms of earnings per share, likely the most relevant key figure for our shareholders, we achieved €2.53 per share, well above the €2.09 in the first 6 months last year. I'm now turning to chart number five, which is the financial position. Turning to slide number five. On this chart, you can see that the strong earnings development had also positive effects on our financial position, which has never been stronger. The following three key balance sheet indicators, equity, net debt, and cash, show our financial strength. Our equity position has continuously increased over the last years. Compared to the end of 2017, our equity ratio increased by more than 5 percentage points to 37%. Besides the strong operational performance, equity has also been positively influenced by the successful issuance of a hybrid bond. After deducting the repayment of the outstanding mezzanine capital provided by POR, the bond had a net effect of roughly 50 million. Please bear also in mind that we paid out a record dividend and interest for the mezzanine and hybrid capital of 21 million in total. Our equity ratio currently stands at favorably 37%, despite a very high cash position of 207 million. Our net debt position is almost 170 million lower than reported 6 months earlier. Per end of June, it was down at 311 million. This figure also demonstrates the success of our Pure Play program, PPP, making good progress in reducing our standing asset portfolio. Our loan-to-value ratio reduced from 42% to 28% in only 6 months and might arguably look too low for a pure play developer. Finally, also our cash position increased significantly from 75 million to 207 million. This gives us flexibility and room for maneuver going forward. Thomas will now explain where we have used our firing power so far.
Yes, and answering an unasked question, which is always problematic, I admit, which is, have we achieved these financials by saving too much on the future? And the answer, of course, is no. Please turn to slide number 6 to prove this. As mentioned at the beginning of our call, UBM has built a very strong pipeline of 1.8 billion for the next 3.5 years. Now, the 1.8 billion might sound familiar to you, but don't forget the Leuchtenberg ring would have deducted 200 million from the pipeline, and it's still the same. So we are offsetting the completions by a new starting project. What is even more important is we have 3,200 hotel rooms, and please put this into the context of 10,000 hotel rooms having been built over 25 years in the past. More than 130,000 square meters of office space and over 3,750 apartments. And I think these numbers speak for themselves. Never ever has UBM been with a comparable quality pipeline in the past. I'm particularly proud of being in a position to announce a full dozen of hotels under development, 12 hotels under development, underlining our claim that we are Europe's number one hotel developer. And the latest acquisition is a very special one, a solitary great building in the old part of Prague known as Sugar Palace, which will soon host a five-star hotel, as we have a building permit already, and adding even more gloss to the Golden City. Thank you, Anna, for this formulation. By the way, did you know that Prague is the number two tourist destination in Europe? Another fact that slipped my mind so far. We have clearly increased our number of strokes, if you want to put it this way, from an average of 2 to 4 hotels per year. This year alone, we have acquired 5 new projects in what is the fastest growing asset class at the moment. Let me dig a bit deeper into our pipeline by turning to slide 7. A closer look proves we walk the talk. 48% of our pipeline is made up by projects in Germany. This is a reflection of our previously announced strategy that we are investing half of our money in Germany. And there is a good reason for it, as I shall present in a minute. 3/4 of our pipeline consists of developments in Germany and Austria, 50 and 25 or 48 and 26% if you want. Looking at the breakdown by asset class, the surprise might be that approximately 40% is made up by residential at the moment. With long lead times in this asset class, I would be flattered if you take it as a proof of our far-sightedness. And we are particularly proud of our 2 large-sized projects with around 500 apartments each in Munich and Berlin, the 2 cities with the highest structural shortness of apartments in Germany. By the way, you find the details of all projects in our pipeline in the backup of our presentation on slides 22 and 23, worthwhile going through it line by line, and if it's only for transparency reasons. Moving back to slide 8, I would like to explain why we are directing half of our investments to Germany. In accordance with Knight Frank or CBRE, we consider Germany to offer the greatest potential in Europe for additional real estate investments. This is particularly true for what is known by market research as the 7A cities. One could also call them the top markets. They consist, just for recapitulation reasons, of Munich, Berlin, Hamburg, Düsseldorf, Stuttgart, Frankfurt, and Cologne. These seven cities represent almost a share of 70% of all real estate investments in Germany, with a growth rate of almost 30% in the first half of this year. 30%. If you accept Mainz as Greater Frankfurt area, UBM Development Germany is focused on six of these 7A cities. What is even more important can be found on the following slide, slide number 9. And again, I would like to draw your attention also, and please make a note, on the backup slides 15 and 16, which go even into more detail. But let's go to slide number 9. There is no end to the yield compression in Germany, and that is why I've mentioned it's a bit contrary to what we've indicated at the beginning of the year, where we were not too confident that the yield compression might continue. As can be seen, the prime office yield has come down from 3.4% in the second half of last year to 3.2% in the first half of this year. And there is a good reason to believe that this trend might continue. A constantly high demand is meeting a continuously shrinking supply. Completions of office space in the first half of this year are significantly below the same period 1 year ago, and we see record lows in office vacancy rates in the 7A cities. This is best illustrated by the development of prime office rents. Hamburg has risen almost 4% annually, Munich by 6%, and Berlin, believe it or not, has risen its prime office rents by 12.5%. Berlin's prime office vacancy rate has dropped to less than 3%, which means it's virtually non-existent. It does not look any different in the residential or hotel segment. According to Savills and the Statistische Bundesamt, we are confronted with a structural demand of 400,000 apartments year over year. Whoever has been searching for an apartment, for example, in Munich or more recently in Berlin, knows what this statistical data means in reality. Lastly, we are riding a megatrend in the hotel development business, which makes this asset class grow faster than any other asset class in Germany. Private hotel or pensions operators are squeezed out of the market from the bottom by competition called Airbnb, and from the top by the powerful reservation engines of the big hotel chains. On top of it, the boom in city tourism leads to a much faster growing rate of overnight stays compared with the pace of newly added hotel rooms. As I said, you find all the accompanying statistical data in the backup. But let me not get carried away by the trend on UBM's most important market, and rather come to the end of our formal presentation by turning to slide number 10. Looking at the first half year actuals, it is not difficult to confirm our full year guidance. Some of you might even think that the full year guidance looks rather conservative. Please consider that the first half year has seen the completion of Leuchtenbergring with a massively positive impact in every respect. The Leuchtenbergring project was special also in accounting terms. It included a hotel which was and still is classified as a standing asset. According to the IFRS rules, earnings are shown only when a project is completed for this kind of asset. So the earnings effect of the Leuchtenbergring project was extraordinarily high. While there is upside on the total output side, and definitely equity will further grow in the second half, the earnings KPIs have to be put in this context. In terms of EBT and EPS, earnings per share, we have achieved more than half of the full year guidance. There are other large-scale project completions ahead of us, such as the Zalando project in the fourth quarter of this year. However, please keep in mind that this is under the percentage of completion method regarding earnings and output. In other words, we feel extremely comfortable with the full year guidance, but prefer not to increase it in the light of the just mentioned facts. We are comfortable to outperform the 750 million euro mark for total output, as much as we believe that earnings before tax and earnings per share will be above 50 million euros and 5 euros per share, respectively. With equity standing today, or I should rather say on the 30th of June, at 412 million euros, it is clear that 2018 will see a record equity at year end. This is going to be significantly above the 400 million euro mark, which we have given you at the beginning of the year. I would like to leave it here. I thank you for your attention so far, and I would like to now open the call for questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we will begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star followed by one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star followed by two. If you're using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selections. Anyone who has a question may press star followed by one at this time. We have a question from the line of Julius Stinauer from Hauck and Aufhäuser Private Bankers AG. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much for taking my question. In which asset class do you see the highest growth in your pipeline in the medium term would be the first question. And then I also have another question on your financials. They look pretty strong. So how will that impact maybe your future plans? How will you use your strong financials maybe to also to enlarge your pipeline in the future? Can you maybe say something on this point as well? Thank you very much.
Excellent. Julius, very good questions. Highest growth is not so difficult to answer because, as I've mentioned already in the call, the fastest growing asset class at the moment is hotels. This might be due to the fact that it's coming from a low base, but it's also true that it's the hottest asset class at the moment. We get approached by investors even before we have a building permit to buy the asset in order to secure the asset. That's the one hint I would like to give you. And on my favorite slide, which is slide number 7, you see on the bottom of it that hotels are currently represent 32% of the total pipeline. Now, we've given you a guidance earlier this year or at the end of last year that our ideal would be a 40% percentage, sort of 40% contribution of hotels. So we have an upside, even though looking at our press releases, you might think we are only doing hotels. So the hotel S class is the one we are betting most on. And in this respect, it helps that many people who think of hotels or need to grow on the hotel side are approaching us. On the financial strengths, I continue to answer the question. It didn't come as a surprise. That's the good news. We've announced at the beginning of the year that we expect to have a record year. Maybe everybody is slightly surprised on the positive side that the net debt has gone down to around 300 million so quickly. And the question is quite appropriate. What do we do? As Patrick mentioned, the room for maneuver has significantly increased. And it ranges from buying back shares, which might not be the right thing if you look at the liquidity of our share, to inorganic growth options. We have carefully looked at all of these options for a while now, and are convinced that we come up with something which is in line with what you have seen from us over the last 2.5 years, which is a mix of profitability that we are searching for and growth on the one hand, and on the other hand, also a risk management approach. I hope this answers your question, even if it has not been all too precise.
Yeah, thank you very much.
As a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your touchtone telephone. The next question comes from the line of Christopher Mell from SRC Research. Please go ahead.
Hello, everybody. I have one quick question regarding the pipeline. Can you please give us a quick update on the construction and sales status regarding the four projects to be completed in 2018? I believe two of these projects were moved by one quarter, if I'm not mistaken.
So let's go to slide number 22, where you have these four projects. Riedenburg is about to be finished. We will kind of have a neighbor party mid of September, assuming that by then everything is sold. We have had 86%, Anna gives me a little note, 86% of all apartments sold so far and the rest in the pipeline. The Jufa Hamburg hotel, which we took over at a pretty late stage of development, is LOI'd. Okay, and while, you know, in such a phase, it is always possible that in the making up of the contract, there might be the one or other hold up. I'm pretty confident that that is also going to be completed by end of September with all the caveats. Now, office provider, that's the noise that you heard in the background. As often is the case, and that includes us as a tenant of office provider and not as a owner, everybody wants to move in as quickly as possible, and that holds up the final construction works. And without these final construction works having been finished, you can't rent out the place. And so there has been kind of a delay, if you want to call it, because we try to provide you with a level of precision which in real life is sometimes difficult to achieve, has slipped to Q4. Again, it depends pretty much on who is the buyer and how familiar we are with the buyer regarding the timeline that we can provide you with in terms of completion. Except for the top floor where construction is still going on, the office space is fully rented out. And last but not least, I think here we've kind of corrected something which was always a bit misleading from the beginning. We believe that for you, it makes much more sense to give you the time where we hand over a project rather than when the construction works are completed. And in this respect, Zalando, okay, was always planned to be completed in the terms that you can see it in our financials in Q4 rather than Q3. But with the progress and for everyone who is in Berlin, I recommend you go to the Daimler-Benz Arena and see what's going on there. It looks pretty far advanced, and we are confident that we can keep the timeline, which means there is a bit of a shift from Q3, okay, which will not be the most exciting quarter, to Q4, but overall you've heard us loud and clear regarding our confidence in connection with both output and, what is more important, the earnings numbers.
Perfect. Thanks a lot.
Sure.
If you'd like to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your touchtone telephone. We have a question from the line of Christian Botter from RCB. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. I've joined the conference a bit late, so some of my questions might have been answered, but I'd like to ask them anyway. First of all, you talk about foreign exchange losses in the other administrative expenses of 10.2 million euros. Are these all effective in the second quarter, or what is the second quarter number, please?
Okay. Do you want to ask more questions, or shall we answer them step by step? And by the way, this question hasn't been asked so far. So thank you for the question,
Christian.
Well,
out of
do
the
it one by the other. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Out of the 10, 8 is in the second quarter.
Okay. All right. Thanks. Then, coming back to this prominent Leuchtenbergring project that you have completed now, if I've done the numbers correct, you had a gross margin of 32% in the second quarter, which I think, if I look back in to history, is definitely a record level. So, I mean, how shall we think about it? I mean, is this really an exceptional margin, or is this a bit of a structural effect? Can we expect better margins in the future? Or how shall we think about gross margin in the future?
Yeah. Very tricky question. Look, why are we making such a big fuss about Leuchtenbergring? We could just say we are super great developers, and, you know, we can compensate the 10 million negative currency effect and still grow by 24%. But that's not what we're doing. There are two things, or three, I would like to mention. Number one, Leuchtenbergring is one of the projects where we have to admit that we've achieved an über margin, if you want. Okay? But it's not the only one. It is due to the fact that we do see yield compression and that the construction costs were contracted at a time where there was not as much pressure, la-di-la-di-la-di-la. And number three, which is important, and now I'm stepping on Patrick's toes, Leuchtenbergring is also special in this respect that the hotel was a standing asset, okay, because it existed before with a different IFRS classification, which means that profitability for the portion of the standing hotel part, okay, has been booked in one go in Q2. Okay. And that is, for example, not the case with Zalando, because you could claim, look, Zalando is a 200 million project. It's going to complete in the second half. So what's the difference? The difference is Zalando clearly is IFRS 40. And as I said, I apologize to Patrick being so overenthusiastic about answering financial questions. But it's IFRS 40. So it's POC. And some of the profits, or quite a lot of the profits, have already been booked. With Leuchtenbergring, we had, so to say, this effect of having a standing asset where we are forced under the IFRS laws to report them only in one quarter.
Okay, that's clear. And then another question on your cost side. I realized that your staff expenses went up in the second quarter, and in the letter to the shareholders you write that this is due to an increased number of hotel employees. Now, having read that, I'm a bit confused because at the same time you talk about cost savings in 2019 while the staff expenses are now increasing, at least in this quarter.
Yeah, that is correct. But when we take over more hotels in our company where we service the hotels, it's clear that we need more staff on board. So that has to be seen a little bit differently in terms of the Next Level program, where you can only save against common ground and a common base. And if you look at now the numbers, we have increased our staff in the hotels by 15 FTEs, 15, and that has to do when you open new hotels or you take them over, you need simply the staff for them.
And just to add to it, as I said, I'm a bit over-enthusiastic today. You also have to carve out the 600,000 euros of cost for the share option program, which is under personnel expenses. And if you reverse them out and only look at the stable staff of 305 development employees, you see that it has even gone down slightly, and that's also explained in the letter to shareholders, and that's quite an achievement in itself with the structural cost increases from the inflation rate and everything else.
Okay, so then maybe a question related to that. I mean, if I look into your hotel pipeline, I mean, how shall we then, let's say, project the staff expenses going forward? I mean, are these continuing to go up, or what's the best way to forecast that?
Yeah. I knew, Christian, that you would ask until we find it difficult to answer. You've reached that stage now. For this, I would have to be able to tell you how many of the 12 hotels, okay, are going to be operated, quote unquote, are leased out from us. A good guesstimate, and as I said, we can't give you a good answer for Sugar Palace as yet, as we've acquired it only a couple of days ago. But a good indication is that every second hotel we play the sandwich position in. And if this is true, okay, and if we just cut the 3,200 rooms by half, which would be 1,600 rooms, all a very rough way of approaching it, it would, of course, require more personnel in this area.
But your related revenues would increase as well, right?
Sure, absolutely, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, then I've two questions left. First of all, total amount of investments in the first 6 months have been fairly small, if I saw that correctly. And is it possible to give some sort of guidance for the potential, or what are you targeting in terms of investments for the full year 2018?
Well, you know, first of all, you said it's fairly low. It's, to be precise, 123 million in the first half of 2018. I'm sorry. If you are asking me for a number, how much are we going to target? We first of all have to see that parts of our investments are for sure in the at equity arena. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't find that under these investments, and so far if they are financing these investments from their bank loans. So, for example, a good portion of what we spend in Zalando is not included in that number, so that has to be deducted. Overall, I would still say that UBM is in total a company which could have up to 400 million of investments. And as I said, regarding the mix where we invested in terms of at equity or in fully consolidated companies, you won't find that in that line you are quoting, the 120 million line. You will find that then in different positions, as I mentioned. So to give you there a clear guidance for the year, I wouldn't do it at that point because that is not the number we are guiding for.
And it is difficult, not trying to be overly apologetic, but it also depends, are we able to close one of the bigger size projects that we are chasing, because they would make a difference. We are chasing bigger projects, which means that already the acquisition cost of such projects, which usually is not land only, but built on area, are quite significant. One that you will see in Q3 is the Sugar Palace, because I don't know if you had a look at the picture, but it looks quite posh, and it is quite posh. So it was a fairly significant double-digit number, acquisition cost number. Unfortunately, the seller insisted on us being quiet about the purchase price, which we have to obey.
Okay, then let me phrase the question a bit differently. What is the minimum amount of, let's say, all investments, including at equity investments, that you have signed so far? Because you have announced a couple of projects very recently. So what's the minimum amount
that we are heading for the full year? I guess it is the number that Patrick has already mentioned. It's the 400 million number.
Okay, all right.
Okay?
Good. Mm-hmm. And then my last question relates to your page 21 of your presentation. We talk about the status quo of your pure play program. Could it maybe help me understand the figure you give for the 30th of June is 399 million standing assets. I assume this includes that equity assets.
Yes.
Okay.
It is corresponding with the chart above. In our case, because we printed it out on the previous chart, page 20, you see the breakdown. Okay, it's 144 fully consolidated and 255 at equity consolidated standing assets.
Okay, but this kind of guidance or this slide is the first time that you show this slide. Am I correct?
This the pure play one.
No, this second guidance time. where the standing assets the level of standing assets that you target by mid-2019. That's the first time that you showed it.
Okay. No, it's been in a different, I think, optic in the last presentation.
No, we have started even in the first quarter with nearly an identical one.
Okay. Anna says we've even had it at the full year. Let me get it's slide number 21 again. So we are very consistent even with this one. For the that's the half year.
No, we had it already in Q1, even in the first part of the presentation.
Yep.
We are showing exactly the same slide, and also the target of 350 we've communicated already in our last conference call.
I see, right, okay. And when you talk about 70% share target, you mean 70% development assets out of the total property assets?
Yes, exactly. And okay. The rest is made up by standing assets, because as I've explained in the past, you need a certain percentage of standing assets that have a potential to be developed in order not to be fully exposed to the market fluctuations. And there is also a little bit of land bank, even though we must say that a land bank of 50 million is the target that we have for this.
All right, that's it from my side. Many thanks.
Great question. Thank you.
There are no further questions at this time. I would like to hand back to Thomas Winkler for closing comments. Please go ahead.
Yes. Thank you for joining us. I know it's a busy day for you today. I'm in 3 minutes, the next real estate company, a hold of real estate, I think, is presenting you the presentation. Please don't forget, when they talk about Germany, they talk about Germany from an investor's point of view, from a real estate investor's point of view, and there the strategy might be quite different where you want to invest, okay, compared to a trade developer. If you bear this in mind, I would be most grateful, and I'm looking forward to seeing the one or other of you on the course of our upcoming roadshow. Goodbye and have a good day.